We interrupt this great podcast to talk about our little show, Sorry You're In My Seat.
It's a movie podcast and no one's doing movies.
I don't think anyone thought of the idea, let's talk about movies on a podcast, put it out there.
Well, we go where no one else dares.
We've done zombies.
Yeah.
Spielberg.
Yeah.
Amy Adams.
Yeah.
Animation.
Oh.
Street Fighter.
You can't win them all.
Subscribe now. Search for Sorry You're In My Seat wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to another episode of My Drunk Movie Theater. I'm Kyle Sutton.
I'm Trisha Campbell.
And it's been almost 2 weeks since we last talked to you guys.
That's true.
Had to take a little hiatus, a little break to kind of, well, we had to work, but then we also had to kind of recharge our batteries and kind of, you know, just see what was going on. There wasn't a whole lot to talk about last week, or at least when we decided not to do this show, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about. And then chaos broke loose, but we'll get to that in a minute. So in personal news, as you guys know, I've been working at the DMV since August, and you know that I loathe it. Finally, this week is my time going back to predominantly to the theater. I'm not called back yet, but for my own mental health, I had to go back to part-time at the DMV. I just could not take it anymore. And Trisha, after the stories I told you in the last couple of weeks of what has happened while I've been there, even you sat there and went, you're trying to get yourself fired. And yep. After listening, after rethinking everything, I'm going, shit, she might be right. Like,
I don't think you were doing it on purpose.
No.
But you were just so done with everything that I think there was some part of your subconscious that was just over it and didn't care about anything anymore.
Yeah. So let's get into some DMV stories. So I have affectionately named this job that I have to do there door Nazi duty. Basically, for about 2.5 hours every afternoon, Monday through Friday, I get stuck being outside and telling people, yes, we can get you in for, you have an appointment for your driver's license, or no, I'm sorry, we're not going to get you in today. To various results. Part of that, so that's the driver's license side. Over here, I've got the motor vehicle side for the people that are doing titles and all that. And I have to keep them in line and say, yes, okay, so I need to pull renewals for a new trainee, or, if you're doing this, or I need to make sure you've got all your paperwork and all this other stuff. Trisha, it just wears on you when you have to go and just deal with people who already don't want to be there. And for the most part, most everybody that comes through is usually, yeah, okay, like, I understand, like, we'll get in there as soon as we can.
Cordial enough, at least.
Yeah, exactly. They know you're just doing a job and they're just there to do a menial task. Just,
yeah.
Everybody knows nobody wants to be there. So why try to make anybody's life harder? Well, and then you have the people that I haven't dealt with in a fat minute. The ones that just are so selfish and self-centered and don't give a fuck about anybody else or their feelings that they just make everybody's life a living hell. So here I am on door duty, door Nazi duty. I've got this guy that walks up and he's probably all of like 5'3", just short shit, got Napoleon syndrome going on, just whatever. He comes up and he's like, hey, I've got to title some vehicles. And I go, okay, sure. I said, well, you're on the wrong side, so I got to send you over there. And he goes, okay. I said, let me go ahead and take your temperature, because that's another part of my job. I have to take your temperature because, we're in a pandemic and we need to make sure that you're not running a fever or showing any symptoms. So I go to take his temperature and he just goes, oh, this is just fucking stupid. And I'm like, really? So the adventure begins. And so I send him on his way and I go inside and I look at one of the gals that I work with and I go, this is great. And she goes, what's going on? I said, I just got somebody who got mad at me because I had to take his temperature. And she goes, really? I'm like, yeah, over a temperature. Well, I go outside and
so
start
stupid.
Yeah, it's super stupid. Like, this is not new. Like, anyway, so I start going through and catching up with the people that I need to take temps on and all that. And I see, and now if you're in this line on either side, you need to be wearing a mask, even though you're outside. The COVID
you're
virus
around people.
the COVID virus is still airborne. Like, if I'm too close to you and I'm carrying it and I cough on you or I breathe on you too hard or whatever, you could catch it and not know it. Yep. And I not know that I'm carrying it. So it's important that you're wearing a mask. And I'm not, if you disagree with me, that's fine. I'm just telling you what the scientists say, and they know a lot better than you or I do. So shut the fuck up. Anyway. So there's this guy standing there without his mask on, back up against the wall. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to talk to him when I get down there. And I'm just going to be like, hey, do you need to have your mask on while you're in line? So I got to him. I'm taking everybody's temperature. And I go, sir, you do need to have your mask on in line. He goes, no, I don't. I'm 6 feet away from the person in front of me. Trisha, he is literally 2 feet away from the people in front of him. And I go, sir, you are not that far away. I need you to put your mask on. And I said, even if you are, just put it on. And he goes, no, because it's, you know, it's not a law. So he goes, your sign right there. So I said, yeah, the sign says no smoking. The one up front towards the front of our office says must wear a mask while you're in line.
Yep.
The end. Well, I'm not wearing it. And I'm like, seriously? And he goes, I'll just stand over here, and like starts walking out towards the middle of this concreted area. And I'm just sitting there going, I do not understand why people just feel the need to argue about something that I have no control over and just have to tell them to do or have them do. And he goes, because it's fucking stupid. Is this that? And I couldn't take it anymore, Trisha. I lost my temper. I whipped around and I go, then go home. Go home. If you cannot abide by the rules that society has set in order to keep others safe, or if you just really want to go someplace where they don't give a shit about the public health, go down to Cass County, which is just south of here. Like, go to my hometown. They don't care, but go away from here. And he's just like, oh, wow. Like, and just like running his mouth, just trying to get my goat again. So I pull this old lady who's doing a renewal, and I say, come with me. And he goes, watch out for him. He's angry. And I get whipped around and I go, she's not the one arguing with me over stupid shit. So I storm inside and I look at my boss. And I bring this lady in. And I pass her off to the gal doing renewals. Look at my boss and I go, boss, I got some asshole out here. And I say it loud enough for everybody to hear. And she goes, Kyle. And I go, I'm sorry. I've got this dickhead out here. And she goes, Kyle. And I go, who won't put on his mask and wants to argue with me and has really just chat my ass. So I think you need to go out there and deal with it before I do. So she goes out there. We both go back out there. She goes to this guy. I go to the other side to deal with my driver's license crew. I don't hear what's said, but all I see is him walking away and hear everybody else clapping as she tells him he needs to leave. And that was just thy first one that week, Trisha. I had two, just 2 days apart. The second one was a middle-aged guy who wanted to start shit. And then by the time I got to him, I'm like, I'm just going in. I'm going to get the boss, like, and let her know. And she went in and basically told him. He went and stood out in the rain. And then him and his wife decided that they were going to leave because they didn't want to wear the masks. Like, the stupidity to prove a point that is completely pointless is just mind-boggling.
We had one today that I didn't deal with, our coworker did, that I walked back into the stand after finishing cleaning up theaters, and I overheard bits and pieces of it, and he wasn't even trying to say he had some sort of exemption or whatever. He literally straight up said he's done complying. Those were his words.
He's done complying?
Done complying. And our coworker, bless his heart, was sitting here constantly like, I'm sorry, but he threw out, you know, it's county mandate, it's company policy, blah, blah, blah. And the guy tried to be like, well, come on, bud, you told me, so you're off the hook.
No.
And he was like, no, you have to wear it. If you already have tickets, you can go straight into your theater. That's fine. Yeah. But if you're going to be in the lobby, you have to wear a mask. And it went back and forth. And eventually he goes, well, sorry. And they left. I'm like, So you refuse, you didn't even see the movie you wanted to see because you wouldn't wear a mask for the 2 minutes that would have taken you to buy a ticket and walk in. And you're acting like we're supposed to be upset by this?
Yeah, if you didn't.
Bye.
Did he get a refund?
No, they hadn't bought tickets yet.
Oh, okay. I thought you said that he had bought
tickets. No, coworker offered. If you already, because they hadn't even gotten that far.
Okay.
Said, if you've already bought your tickets, we're cool with you just going in. He goes, no, I need to buy them. And he goes, well, if you're going to be out here, you need to wear a mask.
Yeah.
We had another old couple that he was wearing a mask. She wasn't. And when it's the, you know, that he talked to her, she was like, well, I mean, if you tell me that I have to, I'll wear it. And he goes, you have to. So she put it on. And as she's like making a big show of pulling it out of her pocket and putting it on, her husband, who was in fact wearing a Trump 2020 mask, goes, well, we usually don't wear them. Okay. There's a theater in Cass County. It's small, probably isn't showing the same things we are, but it's there. They're going to make you wear a mask too, though. There's one in the next town over. They're even stricter than us. They don't allow gators.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought we were done
here into this. Stop fighting us.
Yeah. I thought we were done with this after my King Cowboy videotaping incident. Apparently I was fucking wrong. Like,
it has gotten better. We don't get it as often as we used to.
Yeah, but
most people, it's like they're trying to just test the limits.
Yeah.
But walk in without it, and as soon as we're like, hey, do you have a mask? They're like, oh, yeah. And they'll pull it out and put it on.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was, did I talk about it on one of our last episodes? The guy that came in as part of a private group, and I'm like, do you need a mask? And he goes, no. I'm like, let me rephrase that. Like, you need a mask. Yeah, I thought it had gotten better with one or two here or there that just wanted to stir the pot. But like, these two nitwits at the DMV, they just, they hit a nerve this week this past week that I don't think I expect. And maybe full disclosure, I probably shouldn't be sharing family medical history on here, but I'm going to. My mom, after a year and after being stuck on the stupid boat last year, finally got COVID. I say finally, like, oh yeah, everybody catches it. But like, seriously, she has avoided it like the plague and then manages to come down with it. And just, so I'm already annoyed.
After all she's been through and not gotten it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, all this time later, she has it.
Yeah. So I think that's what did it in for me. But you're right, though. I'm completely fed up with this job to the point that, you know, I'd already made the decision like 3 weeks ago to go back to part-time there and go as much full-time as I could at the theater until I can get called back, which hopefully after this week will be much sooner than later. But we'll see, and we'll talk about that later. That was two incidents that kind of revealed that to me, because I just, the filter came off. It was already kind of hanging loose anyway, but it just came off with these two assholes. The third and final thing that made me go, okay, I got to get out of here. Like, I need to get back to part-time. There was one day last week that I was sitting there at my desk and I was, finishing up with some people. I went back to the back to go to the bathroom. But before I went back, I had been daydreaming all morning about just getting up and walking back, clocking off and walking out. My dumb ass stood up without thinking about it, walked to the back and went and clocked out, and then just went, wait a minute, what the hell am I doing there? Like I had actually taken the time card and ran it through the machine. To the point where my boss like turned around and looked at me and she goes, I was going to say, what do you think you're doing? And I'm like, I don't know at this point. I really don't. Like, I'm not trying to just up and quit, but man, it just sounded really good that day. And like, nothing bad had happened yet. Like I'm just like, I'm done. I'm just so done. So for my mental health, I have gotten cut back on my hours at the DMV, come back a little later at the theater. And I've also started door dashing, which has been fun. I've turned it into my own little personal video game of getting across town with deliveries in a timely fashion. So between that and the snapshot device from my insurance agent, it's going to be interesting to look at. So anyway, so that's what's been going on with me here the last couple of weeks. Trisha, what about you?
Same old, same old.
Yeah.
Working at the theater.
Yeah.
Coming home, being the introverted homebody I am.
Fair enough. You are getting your vaccine though.
I have an appointment. Missouri's finally opening it up to everybody. Yes. I got my text yesterday So on Monday, I will be getting my first shot.
Woo woo! And then the show will officially be three quarters vaccinated. So, you know, I got my second shot last Monday, which was fun. So I've been getting the Pfizer vaccine, which
I'm is sure what I'll be getting.
Do what you say?
Which is what I'll be getting.
Yes. Pfizer gang for life. I decided to go. I went and got my first one a few weeks ago. The second one I was booked. So with the county, you actually have to book your second appointment when you book your first one. So it's like, well, hope I'm not working, or if I am, I'm just taking off because this needs to get done. So I went for my second shot, and it moved pretty quick. Had no side effects initially. It wasn't until like 2 days later that I'm sitting there at work at the DMV, and I feel just like this lethargy, and I'm just like, I'm just really tired. I need a nap. I don't go bad. Well, then next thing I know, suddenly just a wave of nausea just like slams into me, and I'm just like, oh God. Like, to the point of sitting in the back, like, taking my mask off, resting up against something and, like, breathing, like, deep breaths. Just, like, I need, like, sucking down water. Just, like, I don't know what's wrong. Like, is this the vaccine? Or, you know, am I hungry? Am I diabetic? Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Well, then the headache started in. I'm like, really? Like, now is it just psychosomatic bullshit or what? Come to find out that it's 24 to 72 hours after your vaccine is when you can show side effects. And I'm going,
Joy.
I'm going, Trisha's going to love that. Crystal gave me advice that I didn't take. So I'm going to spread it on to you. Take a Tylenol and an ibuprofen, drink plenty of water, and just hang on. So it's been fun. But in all this, my granddad finally got his next shot or his first shot. So he's getting his second one soon. My mom, who, even though she has COVID, will be getting the vaccine here soon as well, as long as she's not showing symptoms, which is great. The only person in my family that has not been able to get his is my dad, which is kind of interesting, because, he's like me, he's got his own health issues that would qualify him. The county he's in just has not gotten to him yet, to the point I'm like, why don't you call them and see if they can speed up the process, find out what's going on? He's like, well, who's them? And I go, oh, I don't know. The health department, your doctor's office, the local pharmacy, your local drug dealer. Like, I don't know. Like, pick somebody, but call them. Like, anyway, it's been interesting. So, but it does give me hope, because I feel like a lot of people were out this week going to the movies. Hopefully people that went ahead and got their shots and are more comfortable coming back.
I've had a handful of customers who've come in and been like, well, we got our vaccines and we're all set. And now we're excited to be back out in the world again.
Yeah. So, I'm really hoping that with this vaccine rollout, I just saw today that the president is moving up the deadline for getting the vaccine to all Americans from May 1st to April 19th, which is a big jump. So let's see how it works out, but looks like there's going to be enough for everybody to get theirs. And
considering how far behind Missouri was, and they're opening it up by April 9th.
Yep.
I think was the day.
Yep. So
surely everyone else can do it too.
Right. So, yeah. So it's one of those, it feels like things are going to start getting back to normal a lot sooner rather than later. Yeah. That being said, we've got to jump into some movie news. So, things that feel like normal for the past year, Disney went ahead and announced that they are pushing back Marvel's Black Widow. Not only are they pushing it back, they are announcing day and date releases for that, Cruella, and Disney and Pixar's Luca will actually go straight to Disney Plus. I'm not happy about it. I understand the move.
Yeah, I'm not too upset about the moving Black Widow.
Yeah.
It's the day and date moving stuff to Disney Plus that pisses me off.
Yeah. We've talked about it extensively on this show that we are proponents of, obviously, it's our livelihood. But even if we weren't, I would still be going, no, it needs to go theatrical exclusive, because those are the kinds of movies you want to see on the big screen. Godzilla vs. Kong made bank this week during a pandemic. 50% capacity or less, depending on where you're at. and still managed to cum up $50 million. Now, granted, that's not its full budget back, but that's a hell of a start.
It's the most anything's made in pandemic time. So,
right. So
what more do you want?
Yeah. So this plan to go ahead and push it back to July to give people time to get the vaccine. Okay, fine. Cool.
Yeah.
But then to go ahead and make the decision and go against your executives, such as, you know, Kevin Feige, and say, we're going to go ahead and do it this way because we want to. What that tells me is that they are making enough money off of these day and date releases, the way they're doing it, to keep doing it. Unfortunately, I hate that. I really hate that. But unfortunately, it looks like that's the way Disney's going to go, at least for a little bit, until they realize it's not as lucrative as they initially thought. So that being said, so Cruella's going the same route. And then Luca, I don't understand the decision behind Luca. They're giving Disney and Pixar the same treatment that they did Soul. Pixar movies are worth seeing in theaters. I think Disney animated movies are worth seeing in theaters. Again, it's that same, you get to see the spectacle on the big screen. It's animated, sure, but you still get to see it in all this vibrant color and this beautiful sound system that plays everything. And yet you're going, yeah, we dumped $150 million into this project. Send it straight to Disney Plus. Like, it doesn't compute to me. So,
give us $8 or $9 and you can watch it.
Yeah.
As many times as you want, over and over.
Yeah. So those are not the only things that changed. They also announced that their other release date slate is moving. Free Guy is moving to August 13th of 2021. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which is another Marvel movie, has been pushed to September.
With Black Widow movie, all the Marvel movies are shifting back.
Yeah. The King's Man is moving to December 22nd, 2021, because nothing says, you know, the birth of Christ quite like secret agents violently killing people. And sure. I'm okay with that too. Deep Water, I'm not sure what that is. I'll have to look it up. Has been moved to January of 22. And then Death on the Nile, which has been shuffled several times now, is being pushed back into February of next year. I feel to some extent it does make sense because we do, like, the back half of 2021 is loaded with content.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got
probably part of why John Krasinski was like, screw it, move Quiet Place to May.
Yeah. Well, and they do that.
Don't want to go back. There's too much stuff coming out at the end of the year. Let's get it out.
Right. Which, yeah, so that's opening Memorial Day weekend, and that will be kind of opening. Actually, I think that is opening against Cruella that weekend. So that'll actually be good counter programming for them. Yeah. So that was the one big piece of news. Here's one though. So since we're on the subject of day and date releases, like I said, we know Tom and Jerry did well. We know Godzilla versus Kong is just cleaning up at the box office right now, even with
Wonder Woman did well.
Wonder Woman did all right. However, Legendary Pictures, which is the production company behind Godzilla versus Kong, is also the production company behind Dune, which, yes, I'm still working on that compilation episode. Do you know how hard it is to do a compilation episode? I didn't realize how difficult it was until I started putting it together. It's fucking hard, guys. Like, seriously, because I have to trim shit off from other segments that got intertwined into it, and it's a nightmare. But it is coming. So, anyway. So Warner Brothers reportedly is still unsure about HBO Max's release plan for that film. We don't know if that's going to get a day and day release. I'm hoping not. I hope it's a theatrical exclusive because movies like that, again, deserve to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
Yep.
So, of course, according to Deadline, there is still a possibility that the Timothée Chalamet-led sci-fi action film might stick to its original theatrical release plan, as Warner Brothers and Legendary are reportedly still undecided about whether the pick should also debut on HBO Max or not. With Godzilla vs. Kong's promising opening weekend numbers, it's likely that Warner might heavily consider keeping Dune only in theaters. Huh. It's almost like you could make more if you go ahead and throw it in theaters.
It's almost like we said they made a long-term decision when things change in the short term very quickly.
Yes. Yeah, because I think you and I were in agreement. Maybe do it as a quarterly basis, release a few movies here and there to see how they do on both day and date. That does lead me to another piece of information, because Warner Brothers also got... So with theaters opening back up in New York and LA, Regal has decided to start reopening their auditorium or their theaters. Again, not a chain that we work with, but or work for, but it is interesting to keep note of, because they are, I think, the second or third biggest chain in the world or in the nation. So Warner Brothers made a deal with them. They're going to go ahead and show movies or the Warner Brothers slate for this year, even though they're day and date. However, starting next year, Warner Brothers is now signing an exclusivity contract that basically would give a 45-day release window exclusively to theaters, which is what they should have done in the first place.
Yeah.
So
I don't mind a shorter window. Like, a traditional theatrical window is like 90 days.
Yes.
And I understand them wanting to hurry the product into streaming services. That's fine. I get that. I'm not mad at a shorter window. Just give us a window.
Yeah.
Like 45-day window. Cool. Done. That gives us a solid like six weekends of exclusivity before it hits streaming services. That's plenty of time for people who want to see it in theaters, or people who don't want to wait to see it at all, to come out, see it in theaters, us to make our money, and then they can dump it on streaming platforms to start making their extra bucks on the back end. That's fine. Just give us a window. That's all we ask.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think a 45-day window is almost perfect. Because they're, granted, yes, we want to hang on to the movies as long as we can and actually make money off of them once they, you know, actually become kind of lucrative for us, even though people aren't going to see them as much. But we can still get new content in and get more people to come in, come buy concessions and all that with other movies that are brand new releases. This also gives Warner Brothers the opportunity to go ahead and get that movie out to their streaming service or onto physical media to actually make money off of. Either way, it sounds like this might be the happy medium that everybody's been looking for. A 90-day window would be preferable, but at the current time, you kind of have to do what you have to do. And I think 45 is just the happy medium of, yes, it's a half the window, but everybody kind of gets what they want.
Yeah. It's not day and date, at least.
Exactly. So, so good job Regal for, staring them down and letting them know, yeah, that's how this is going to work. So I think all the theater chains need to actually get in on that and say, yeah, we need exclusivity. Universal, Disney, especially Disney, So it's exciting to see that theaters are opening back up and that now they're making moves. So Regal's actually, I think they're opening back up. I think they're actually pushing to get everything open back up by April 16th. They were aiming for the 23rd with some locations opening the 16th for Mortal Kombat, but now they are pushing to try and get to that point so that way they can get that extra weekend with everybody.
Yeah, kind of get everything open and back, kind of reacclimated before Mortal Kombat hits.
Absolutely. So, all right. So I have one other piece of news before we kind of get into the meat and bones of this week's episode. The Space Jam trailer came out this week. Space Jam, A New Legacy. You and I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. Indifference is probably what it boils down to.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I want to be excited for it, because you know me, I love the Looney Tunes and I love basketball. I'm not the biggest LeBron James fan, but he is.
But you're willing to look past that.
No, I absolutely am, because I acknowledge that even though he is not the GOAT, you know, Jordan, he is the greatest player playing right now. Yeah. He is the face of basketball and of the NBA. So I totally get getting him to do it, and it seems like it's something he wants to do. But that being said, Warner Brothers, what the fuck are you doing? Because I watched this trailer and I'm pretty sure I counted maybe 30 seconds total, no less than that, of Looney Tunes in a Looney Tunes movie. And yet I wind up seeing Hanna-Barbera characters, King Kong, the fucking Droogs and the flying monkeys from A Clockwork Orange and The Wizard of Oz, respectively. Like, I want to see a Looney Tunes movie. I didn't come to see Warner Brothers Synergy off the charts. Like,
you didn't come to see a Ready Player One ripoff.
Exactly. And that's what I feel like I'm getting. And like, none of the humor was there. It didn't feel like there was a whole lot. It feels like there's heart with the father-son story between LeBron and his son. Like, yeah. I get that. But it's not what I'm coming for. I'm coming for the Looney Tunes. Like,
yeah,
me, personally. Now, that being said, I'm sure it was the same way back when we were kids. Everybody's like, Looney Tunes? Michael Jordan? Hell yeah! Now it's LeBron James? Looney Tunes! LeBron James! Like, that's what it seems like everybody's going for. And I didn't walk away feeling great about this trailer. And I'm not sure, I really am not digging the CG tunes.
No.
Either. Like, more, no. Like Bugs.
That's not Looney Tunes.
It's not. And don't get me wrong. I know that they've done CGI shorts here in the past decade. And some of them were like Wile E. Coyote. Like, it was fun. It was fun to watch and it was different. Mm-hmm. But when I come for the Looney Tunes, I still expect them to be hand-drawn. Yeah. At the very least, I expect to see that signature Looney Tunes humor, which I felt like we only got in one, maybe two shots in this whole trailer. And the one that stands out to me is Yosemite Sam being told to shoot the basketball. And so he dual pistols it and just blasts away. Like, and that's the hardest I laugh. That's the only time I laugh during the trailer. So my question is why did we feel the need? And I understand the plot is LeBron's going to rescue his son who's been sucked into this machine that houses the entire Warner Brothers library, which, okay, whatever. So it's Cyberspace Jam and not Space Jam.
Yeah.
Which at that point, that's probably what you should have called it instead of.
It's fair.
I'm just, like I said, I hate to be down on it because I hate being down on trailers when it's only 2 minutes of footage.
But even I wasn't as down on it as you were from the beginning. I was like, well, we'll see how it is. And even I watched the trailer and was like, it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. And I mentioned the Droogs from A Clockwork Orange. Like, we talked about this a few weeks ago. They're cutting a scene that featured Pepe Le Pew getting slapped for, you know, kissing on a woman's arm that does not want him to do that. And it's like I said, we've been waiting years to see Pepe Le Pew kind of get his just desserts. Yet you're going to feature characters from a movie that was rated R and a hard R at that in like the 1960s who commit acts of extreme violence. That in one of the most iconic scenes in the movie, like fucking Malcolm McDowell is like cutting a woman's clothes off of her to rape her while singing, yeah. Singing in the Rain. Like, you're going to include them. That's in this. Up. It's incredibly messed up. And it's tone deaf, Warner Brothers. Like,
yeah, make it make definitely. Sense.
Like, I don't understand the logic. Like, you had an opportunity here to make an example out of Pepe Le Pew. You're going to cut him instead and leave this little cameo for the hardcore nerd. Now, granted, if I had just seen it and like just watched the movie, I'm like, they really have the Droogs in there? And like 10 years ago, I probably wouldn't have thought anything of it. But like in hindsight, with everything else going on and in light of this Pepe Le Pew situation, I'm going, okay, if they can appear, you can at least do the fucking Pepe Le Pew shot. Like,
agreed.
Like, put that in there. Like, give us that at the very least. I don't know. I am super indifferent. I know that a lot of people are going to take their kids to see it, and I hope they enjoy it. And I'm going to watch it. And I hope it's better than I'm bitching about right now. But right now, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. So we've got special guests coming up in the next part of the show because we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking Godzilla. I will warn you, we are going to get into spoilers when you're listening to that segment. Don't worry, I will tell you before we get into the spoilers. But I'm excited to talk to the guys from Dad and Rock. Sean and Chris are going to join us. We were on their show back in February. Great pair of guys, great hosts. Go check out their show. With that, we'll be right back.
It's the Dad in a Rock podcast. This is Sean.
And this is Chris.
Join us every week as we give you the dad's point of view on pop culture.
And stumbling our way through fatherhood. Dad jokes.
Star Wars.
Streaming.
Tech news.
Movie news.
Listen to lifelong pals tell stories from past and present.
Cruise with us into the cheesy every week on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and other podcast platforms.
And as always, find past episodes and links to our social media pages on dadinarock.com.
All right, we're back. So we are being joined by the two hosts of the Dad in a Rock podcast, Chris and Sean. Guys, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
What's going on? You beat me to it. I was thinking the same dad joke.
Thing is whenever I hear hi, everybody, I immediately think of The Simpsons, and I just
want to come back Dr. Nick. Dr. Nick. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick. So I invited you guys on when we appeared on your show back in February, I think, right before the Super Bowl, which we
You guys kicked off the whole, like, we have a, you know, another show each month.
Yes. We had a lot of fun. And we talked about what movies we're all looking forward to seeing once this pandemic's over, or that get released in time for us to be able to watch. And Chris, I think you said Godzilla versus Kong, correct?
That was my movie. I mean, I was never a big MonsterVerse person. But that trailer, when it released and I watched it, it got me so pumped. And it snowballed here in my house between, you know, King of the Monsters and Skull Island. Now this one, it's playing, one of those three are playing at all times, from my daughter who is 5 to my son who's 8 and then myself. So
gotcha.
Yeah, the trailer was, trailer of the year, I think. I think that trailer did its job.
Yeah, that trailer was pretty dope with obviously showing off like highlights of the action and whatnot.
Yeah.
But the music that they put with it, like I'm sitting there going, this looks so cheesy with like hip hop, you know, going right up against it with that hard rock riff. But I'm like, I'm in, I'm sold.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm kind of the same. I was never a big MonsterVerse person, but you can't watch that trailer and not get excited about going to see that movie.
Yeah. So I kind of the same way. I enjoyed the Godzilla movies and to a lesser extent King Kong and Kong Skull Island. But anytime that you're going to promise me giant monsters on the big screen beating the shit out of each other and tearing stuff up, I am almost 100% always down.
Right.
You know, Pacific Rim is one of our favorite movies of the last decade, I think, just for that reason alone.
I'm so mad at myself for missing the first one in the theater.
Oh, yes. we talked about it earlier. Trish and I went to see The Faculty last night, and a movie that we were not expecting to ever see in theaters, but it's one of those, like, we enjoyed the hell out of it. Not a giant monster movie, but again, like if Pacific Rim were to ever get a re-release in theaters, I think we'd have to be there daily.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah,
The Faculty, like the 90s movie, the high school
Josh
kids
Hartnett
with the
and Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Robert Patrick, I think.
Robert Patrick is in it as the football coach.
That was a great, I mean, it was a fun, dumb, well, I don't know. That'll take us off course, but.
we had fun watching it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so first things first, obviously we work in the movie theater industry, so we have been, this past week is actually even busier for us than it was for Wonder Woman 1984 at Christmas time, which is huge. Of course, obviously, a lot more screens are open, a lot more theaters and locations are open. New York and LA are opening back up at limited capacity. So
timing was kind of perfect because our local school district was on spring break last week.
Right.
Yep.
So that contributed to it too.
Right. But then the movie also had a 5-day opening of $48.5 million, which in normal times would be kind of middle of the road on a $155 million budget. And that's kind of right around where Godzilla King of the Monsters opened. So we're sitting there going, normally we would go, well, probably not getting the sequel after this or anything else. But after this weekend, it just filled our hearts with hope. We were just so excited. So
I think people miss just going to the theater, man. It's even, I mean, moviegoers missed it pretty quickly into the pandemic, but even just your general audiences that maybe just catch movies infrequently, you know, just seeing what's playing. Hey, what's playing? Let's go see a movie. They even haven't been there in, you know, a year plus. So I'm sure people are jumping at the bit to get back.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had a lot of people here in the past week that are going, this is our first time back in over a year. Like we're ready. Like, and what better way to open it than, like I said, with giant monsters beating the shit out of each other on screen. So that being said, Chris, this was your most anticipated movie of the year. Did it live up to the hype for you?
It absolutely did.
Yes.
I loved every second of it. And my son that was sitting there, what we did is we anticipated watching Skull Island, but we just didn't have time to do it. Once we watched King of the Monsters, that had us so like ramped up and just like, we couldn't wait. We were like, okay, what? We didn't see it Wednesday. We had to see it Thursday just because of my work schedule. And he had to go to school on Thursday. So it was like, okay, once you're done school, pick me up. We're going to the theater. And I actually bought these tickets probably like 3 weeks in advance because I didn't know what the anticipation was going to be. I wanted to see it in IMAX. I was like, I am not going to miss out the IMAX, you know, option. I'm not going to see it on the smaller screen. He's never seen an IMAX movie before. So give him, he loves Godzilla.
Yeah.
So seeing, have him see Godzilla on the IMAX screen. And I actually got us down a little too far to the screen. So he's seeing it like in full, like right up on it. And I actually apologized to the couple that was like four seats down. I was like, I'm sorry. He was just so amped to see this movie. And luckily they completely understood it, which was awesome. But yeah, he was blown away by it. I loved every second of it. I got a few little things about it, but overall I'm like, you know what? It was great.
Sure. Sean? You, on the other hand, from what I understand, did not see this in theaters because
I know.
Shame.
I feel really bad. Yeah, ring it. Ring the shame bell. That's fine. I deserve it. I just got caught up with Easter weekend hubbub. You know, I didn't have the days off until the weekend. And then we actually, we just moved into this house in August. And this was like our first Easter here. We had a bunch of family over. And it's, you know, because of the pandemic, it's been a while since we've had, you know, a bunch of family gather. So I actually waited until Sunday, Easter Day, when I had a bunch of cousins and nephews down here with me in the basement, watching it on the TV back there. And I've got a decent little surround sound setup and stuff down here. So that's what we did. After we ate dinner, we came down here with full bellies and just blasted Godzilla versus Kong. It was nice, you know, to be able to do that. It's something that, you know, I love watching movies anyway, and I'm sure HBO Max, this is like, was an experimental thing. I don't think they'll be wanting to premiere day and date, both in theater and on their streaming service in the future. Kind of just a weird year for them. But I took advantage of it this time around. I wish I would have seen it in the theater because I feel like I would have maybe had a closer experience that Chris would have had, just, you know, in just the IMAX setting.
That scene towards the end when Godzilla looks at the screen, Kong does, and he's all pissed.
Yeah.
He's getting ready to go. I see now, comparing to my TV and the actual IMAX screen, and there was no comparison.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I would say next time, but this might be like a one and done, like original kind of experience. I don't know if there'll be a Godzilla versus Kong 2 or anything that's kind of like this. It might kind of branch out into other monsters, but I don't know.
Yeah, after what, I'm sure that the box office will talk and people will go, oh yeah, we should definitely just start bringing back more of the other monsters and give Mothra or Rodan their own movie. And I'd be totally down for that, like after what they've done. I've enjoyed the other three movies beforehand. I know a lot of people are dogging on it, but I thought King of the Monsters was freaking fantastic. Like, I just, it delivered everything I wanted out of a Godzilla movie. So we got to watch this. Trisha, when did we watch it? Tuesday night?
I think so.
Yeah, because we got the key. Yeah, we got the keys for it like Monday night at midnight. And with my work schedule, I said, okay, we can't watch it after midnight on Monday because I got to be at work at 8 a.m. tomorrow. So that's not going to work. I will stay up late and we will watch it on Tuesday night, though, as soon as we close the building down. We watched it on our grand screen, which is kind of our company's version of IMAX.
Yeah.
And we had the DTSX sound. And I've seen it twice now, both times on the grand screen. And I'm tempted to watch it down here on my 50-inch with my little surround sound setup. And I'm just sitting there going, no, I don't want to ruin it for myself. Like, yeah. Trisha, what did you think of the movie? We're used to the theater experience. So we can probably almost take it for granted after, you know, working
it's
there.
True. It's very true. It was a lot of fun. And honestly, that's what you want out of a movie like this. You're not looking for some, you know, high art cinema. You just want to watch two monsters beat the shit out of each other for 2 hours.
That's right.
And there's something about hearing Godzilla roar and surround sound that's just fantastic.
Well, yeah.
Hearing Kong roar in surround sound right back at him, though. Fair. Like one after
yeah. another. When Kong would stand up tall and beat his chest and those good stuff.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. When your seats are rattling, that's just a great experience. One thing that we noticed this weekend, though, just kind of going back to our box office numbers and all that, we noticed that a lot of people, when they came to our theater to see it, they were going to either see it on our grand screen or in something called MX4D, which is basically our motion theater. So around with the action and all that. Those shows were consistently selling out left and right.
Yeah,
I was cleaning shows Friday and Saturday, and we're still running at 50% capacity. So the grand screen was averaging about 50 people a show, which is pretty much a sellout at that point. And MX4D was averaging 20 plus, which is about a sellout for that one. But all the others were like 15 people, 20 people. Like, they weren't selling quite as well. Now, part of that is we had 5 screens besides our 2 premium formats. So we had a lot to choose from.
A lot of options.
But yeah, the two premium formats were vastly outselling the others.
Yeah.
People were willing to spend the money on that experience.
Yeah. Chris, I'm assuming that your showing was pretty well sold out.
It seemed it. I mean, it's hard if, you know, with us not being in like the business like you guys are,
right,
to know what it is. But I know when we look to the left and right of us, I think they let 4 seats open to the right and left of us. And then there was no one sitting directly behind us or in front of us.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's no way they could have fit, you know, more than 40 people at most, maybe, in within the theater, you know, doing it that way. So, I mean, it was enough of a crowd to feel like I was in a theater with other people enjoying a movie like we did prior to the pandemic happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We kind of, Chris and I were talking about this pretty early on in the pandemic when things were shutting down, and we would give kind of movie updates as things were being pushed back on our podcast. We started to talk about what would be the one to bring people back into the theaters. And we thought that Godzilla versus Kong would be one, because I can't conceive of just a bigger a bigger title than Godzilla versus Kong. Like, literally the stars of the show are huge, you know, skyscraper size. So I need to go just see it this weekend, maybe by myself. I'll go catch matinee.
It maintained its crowds a lot longer than Wonder Woman did. Wonder Woman, just for that couple days around Christmas, did really well, and it dropped off fast.
Yeah.
And
it's gotta
Godzilla,
be a quality thing.
Yeah, Godzilla opened on Wednesday, and we were still selling out through Saturday. It didn't drop off till Sunday, which was Easter. And it was, you know, one of the nicest days we'd seen in a while around here. So I wasn't surprised. But even dropped off, like, we were still selling out quite a bit. Not selling out, but we were still selling a decent amount of tickets.
Yeah. Our attendance on Sunday was higher than it normally is on a Sunday. Well, I say normally, during a pandemic. Because I think
we were averaging 450 to 500 people a day those first 4 days it was out. And Sunday, I think it dropped to 300.
Yeah.
Which is still a busy,
not a big drop.
Busy pandemic day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. The very first, I worked opening night, and I think we did 600 people all day, and with a skeleton crew of like 4 people. That's really exhausting.
That sounds miserable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad because the people that we have, all of us have been in doing this for a while, especially our boss, who's been doing it for 30 years. So we've just kind of adjusted and learned what we needed and pulled in the people that we do need and can get. And I think we also had a couple extra people that showed up to help us out just for like our 7 o'clock round to keep us afloat. So All right. So we've talked about the experience of going back to the theaters. Chris, did you feel like safe? Like, did it, obviously you had the distance between you. Did it feel clean at the auditor, the theater that you went to? Trying to give people a sense of how safe are you going to the theaters right now?
I felt comfortable. Honestly, yeah. I felt comfortable enough that I am contemplating going and seeing Mortal Kombat on like a matinee showing. Like when that's obviously wouldn't be when I take my 8-year-old son to see.
Why not?
But I mean, I'm already thinking about my next movie in the theater. Like, we just watched the Space Jam trailer not that long ago. I'm like, yep, that's one that, you know, the whole family's gonna go to see.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm looking. I was a casual moviegoer. Like, I would be one that would go see maybe two, maybe three movies a year, just because I was lining up a babysitter and finding the time to do it. But I'm more amped now than I was prior to go to the theaters.
Good.
Nice.
I'm just looking to get back to it. I was more of a moviegoer before.
Right.
I don't know if the pandemic's turned me into a shut-in or what, but I'm not afraid to go back. Like, me personally, I'm halfway to full vaccination. I've had one shot, but still, like, I trust that the like restaurants and theaters and, you know, places and establishments that need to be safe and have people come in and do things in a safe way. I mean, their businesses kind of depend on, you know, that kind of thing. I'm sure they're taking every proper precaution and, you know, doing what they can. So I honestly would feel more safe sitting in a theater than some other places, you know, going to the grocery store even. Because it's like, oh, you head to the grocery store or Walmart or whatever, and it just seems to be a lot lax because people kind of consistently showed up. And because you have to, you can't not get groceries, but it's still one of those things where it was never taken out of our daily lifestyle, you know? So now I think because of the specialness almost of heading back to the theater, like, oh, I haven't been here in a year, year and a half, people are kind of more apt to take the proper precautions, I think.
Yeah. I know that is one thing that we have tried to take as seriously as possible. It's Cinema Safe is what it's called, the Cinema Safe protocols. Mm-hmm. Basically, we're wiping down counters as, you know, as often as we can. We go and we spray down seats with sanitizer after every showing, you know, trying to make sure that every surface is as clean as it can possibly be while you're there to make you feel safe. Of course, everybody has to wear a mask when they're at our theater. And I know a lot of chains are tied into it. I don't know. AMC is doing their own thing, I think, but it's pretty well similar too. I'm not sure what theaters you guys are going to.
Yeah, I went to a Cinemark and it was like I'd have in all common areas mask on.
Yeah.
While sitting down, eating popcorn, things like that. It can be off. And
yeah.
That was pretty much, and it was like when my son, like we're planning our Disney trip come the summer. I was like, you know what, this is his first experience to know down, eating, off, up, doing anything else on. So I kind of wanted to get him that experience a few times before, and you know,
we do that. Absolutely. So, all right. So guys, if you are now listening, you haven't watched the movie yet, this is where you're going to have to go ahead and shut off the show. you should be able to go see it in theaters. Go see Godzilla vs. Kong in theaters on the biggest screen possible, grand screen, IMAX, motion seats, whatever you can. Go and experience it. Go support your local cinema. Because right now, and if you don't feel safe, obviously watch it on HBO Max. I think you still have like 25 days that you can do that. It's not going to be as great. Take it from Sean. He already knows and he hasn't watched it. So, but now turn it off, because if you haven't watched it yet, we are about to get into some super spoilery territory. So on that note, 3, 2, 1. All right. So we've got to talk about this movie proper, because there were things that were revealed in it that were not shown in trailers at all. That when they have, Trisha will tell you, I fangirled like straight up.
I have known this man for almost 14 years, and I've never seen him fanboy as hard as he did during this movie.
Specifically the Mechagodzilla reveal.
Sure. Oh, so
I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
I caught that in a few of the trailers, just like little snippets. So
yeah.
My son didn't know it was coming. I knew it was coming. So when he seen him, he had the same kind of reaction. He kind of just stood up. Yeah.
I almost stood up. For me, that was, again, not being a real, like, I've enjoyed those movies over the years, but it's not, like, a strong fandom for me.
Right.
For me, what it is, so I think I mentioned on your guys' show last time we were on, My best friend, Ryan, who passed away a few years ago, loved his sci-fi, his aliens, his monster movies, all that. And he loved Godzilla. And especially even Mechagodzilla. So when that reveal happened and they brought him out, I was fanboying pretty hard, but I felt my best friend in the theater that night with us in that moment, just cheesing. Cause I would have heard him just going, ah! Losing his shit. So, Chris, you said you knew it was coming, but did it take away from the awesomeness at all?
Not really. I mean, just the scope of it and seeing him, like knowing he's coming is one thing. Seeing him is a whole another ballpark.
Right.
So yeah, no, it took nothing away from me whatsoever.
Good. Good. Sean?
I was kind of worried that it would, because that's kind of the standard trope in like these big versus movies, like, you know, Batman v Superman, well, then Doomsday shows up and, you know, that kind of thing. But the way they did it in this movie, it was still completely satisfying. Because of what a threat that Mechagodzilla was, you know, it was kind of, we watched this long epic battle and struggle between Kong and Godzilla, and you know they were like fighting in rounds almost. Even the characters mentioned as much, like, well, round two goes to Kong, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then you know Mechagodzilla was just thrashing Godzilla, like it was bad. I mean, granted he was already pretty wore out from having to fight Kong. So, you know, but to see them team up to the end, it was very satisfying. Like I said, that's a common trope in these kind of things. But
it wasn't really a team up. It was more of a, they reluctantly
teamed
up. There was no like agreement.
It was the enemy of my enemy is my friend. At this
right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. There was no handshake, I guess. You're right. But the moment that Kong had the axe and Godzilla powered it up for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was nice.
No, agreed.
Yeah. That was honestly, like, every battle that happened was just intense, like from the first time they meet up out in the ocean on that carrier, all the way up to Hong Kong, and then the Mechagodzilla, you know, having to stare down with him. I don't feel like they held anything back. I mean, obviously you can't do all the blood, ass blood and guts everywhere like you would in an R-rated movie. You got to keep it PG-13 and all that. But even still, I thought the intensity of those fight sequences. One thing I really appreciated was the fact that you could see everything that was happening. You could see every hit being laid, which has been kind of an issue in action movies over the past decade and a half. Thanks, Jason Bourne. Yeah, you could see every blow landing, everything that happens. And it all, even though it's all CGI, it all looks fantastic. One of the other things that I really appreciated about this, we've joked, if you're going to see a Godzilla versus Kong movie and you're expecting, you know, Academy Award worthy performances, you're in parking up the wrong tree or a story. I did appreciate the story in this, because you know you do have the humans who are on this fairly standard, we don't know why Godzilla's doing this, we don't, you know, we've got to keep Kong safe, all that. I thought the performances of like Rebecca Hall and especially the little girl that plays were just on point. I actually genuinely cared about them as characters and wanted to make sure that one, they were safe, and two, that they saw this through to the end.
Now they got an actual response out of me.
Yeah.
When they were on the ship with Kong and he signed home.
Yes.
I was like, I got a gasp, and this made me funny, but the first thing I thought was, Amy, good gorilla. Amy.
Yes. He's a Congo kid. He's a Congo kid.
But yeah, that was the first one. And I was all about, I mean, I'm still to this day a Kong guy. I mean, I like Godzilla, but I fall in that Kong. So pulling for that human base was so much easier. I felt like the Godzilla human base, that whole storyline could have been completely cut from the movie and it would have had no impact on the movie.
Yeah, it was kind of a tale of two side stories where one was done really well with engaging characters that you cared about. And the other one was, you know, give it up to Millie Bobby Brown. I'm a big fan of her. I think she's really good. Just their whole side story felt a lot goofier for some reason. Maybe it was just because of the way the actor that portrayed the podcasting guy was acting. And then, you know, Millie Bobby Brown's, I'm going to be bad with character names. I don't know their names.
That's okay.
But Millie Bobby Brown's, you know, like New Zealander sidekick. They were like cracking jokes and stuff when.
You mean the kid from Deadpool 2?
Exactly. Yeah. That was him.
Just call him Russell.
I don't know why the tone was so. Their tone was specifically very jokey. And then the tone for Rebecca Hall and that side story was kind of very, you know, adventure and intrigue and like, you know, more of a drama tone. So it was a little bit inconsistent for me. I agree with Chris on that.
Yeah, I don't disagree there. I enjoyed all that, especially, you know, podcaster gets to be the hero for a change. I know our circle has been kind of talking about that this week, but it was nice. I actually kind of, I enjoyed that side story, but I do agree. I think tone wise, it was totally off, and it probably was because of Brian Tyree Henry's performance, because he does play it goofy and, you know, kind of over the top conspiracy theorist, all that, which would probably work better in another movie, but not when you're acting opposite, you know, Eleven and Russell from Deadpool 2. So, I would agree there. I also didn't appreciate the underutilization of what's his name? The coach from Friday Night Lights.
Oh, is it Chandler Riggs?
That's what I'm like. No,
oh, no,
is Carl from Walking Dead.
Yeah,
Kyle Chandler.
You're right.
Kyle Chandler. There we go. I knew I'd get
That's
there.
Funny.
I wanted to see more out of him, and that probably would have aided in cementing that story and with a little more heart on the Godzilla side of things.
Yeah,
because the only times we ever see him are him telling Millie Bobby Brown, "No, you're not going anywhere. Quit listening to that guy." The end. And then next time we see him again, it's like, you know, hey, are you okay? Are you okay? Where are you?
Yeah.
You know, and like then
Pensacola,
the sudden realization. Then
in Tokyo, the only two times we've seen him.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, why did we even bother bringing him back at this point if we're not? Now, granted, Adam Wingard has said that, there is enough footage for like a 5-hour cut of the movie. And Snyder fanboys, please do not come out of the woodwork for this. I don't need another extra long cut of a movie that, you know, of a movie that actually everybody enjoyed this time. Let's just leave it as is.
Yeah. I
concur. But yeah, I felt he was really underutilized. I was kind of disappointed with that. What were some other like nitpicky things that you guys had about this movie?
I didn't like the, almost I felt like the ease that they tranquilized Kong. It's like, like so simple for them to go ahead and shoot him with a few darts and, you know, drop him. But, you know, Godzilla couldn't drop him like that.
Right.
So, I mean, like I said, that's a little nitpicky.
Mm-hmm.
Mine would probably be, the character that came in, you know, the woman with the sunglasses on the helicopter that ended up being the daughter of the one guy. She was just kind of over the top. Like,
oh, I cheered when her
thing feel got free
crushed.
To be impressed. Like, like, what are you going for with that performance? Like, what are we going for here? Like, I get it's, but this movie had a lot of leeway for stuff like that. Cause it's like, I wanted, you know, Independence Day. I wanted the big ensemble piece where there was kind of like a little bit over the top with performances. I don't, you know, when you have a movie this big, I really don't mind that. I have a bit more a broad, you know, a bandwidth for that kind of thing. So that was fine. Not, there was honestly, like you said, it's kind of nitpicky. There was nothing that made me dislike the movie as a whole or detracted from what we got, because I think what we got was ultimately very satisfying.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I Trisha, did you have anything that you wanted to add to this before I get rolling?
No, go for it.
Okay. For me, I feel like with these big versus types of movies, this one succeeded for me where Batman v Superman failed, and I actually liked Batman v Superman, and I know I'm in the minority about that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, this one succeeded where it failed because it was fun. Like when you see these two icons go toe to toe on screen, you expect it to be fun. And while, like I said, I enjoyed Batman v Superman, I acknowledge it is dark, it is somber, it is gritty, and it's setting up a lot more than what it needs to. Whereas this feels like it's capping something off. in much the same way Freddy versus Jason did almost 20 years ago. Say what you will about that movie. That movie is a blast to watch, and it delivers exactly what you came to see when you saw it in theaters. And that is, in that instance, a bunch of kids getting slaughtered by two of the horror's biggest icons. Like, again, you're not showing up for that sort of thing. You can actually be goofy with that. And I feel like that's kind of where Godzilla vs. Kong has succeeded in making a pretty well balanced movie. The Godzilla, you know, gang sub story just notwithstanding. Yeah, but I feel like when you do these big movies like that, you have to enjoy the fun of it, the ridiculousness of it.
Yeah.
And just lean into it.
Now, here's a question for you. Yeah. How did you take the ending? Did you see it as Kong submitting or an understanding between Kong and Godzilla?
I personally saw it as an understanding. I even joked with friends after the second time I watched it. Like, I kind of wish that they would have stood there looking at each other. Bruce Willis and Ving Rhames in Pulp Fiction. Just that. Yeah. We cool? Yeah, we cool. Fuck out of town, but we cool. Like, right. You know, that sort of thing. And that's exactly what we got. Like, that's what I took. Kong never just took, he was ready to die.
He was ready to keep going, yeah.
Yeah, like when he stood back up before he collapsed and they have to go and jumpstart his heart, like, I immediately just went, you know, hey, Zilla, I ain't hear no bell. You know? that's what I took it as.
When I first seen it, I thought he submit when he dropped it, you know, the actual axe. It was kind of like when they shut off all the engines in the sub and everything, when Godzilla didn't see him as a threat anymore. But when I watched it again at home, I got a whole different feeling for that, you know, ending scene.
Yeah.
It was more of a, we don't have to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can both coexist.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're both pretty tired. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
I'd rather not keep fighting. Thanks. Maybe next time.
I just want my banana and my juice box to
go nap. Nap.
That's it. Like, yeah, no, that's the way I took it. And even with him just dropping the axe, it was just a, look, I'm done. Like, if you want to do this, we can keep doing this, but I'm done.
I don't wanna.
And so, yeah, so that's why I said the thought that came to my mind was, yeah, we cool. Like, just ride off into the sunset, or, you know, go swimming into the ocean, like, however you want to do it.
I had a couple of nephews here, and one had $20 on Kong, one had $20 on Godzilla. Because there was articles out there like, well, there will be a winner. It's not going to be one of these punk endings or whatever.
Right.
How do you guys read that? I mean, so did Godzilla defeat Kong in that moment where he was pretty much stomping his chest and Kong had to get revived by the CPR?
I think you have to go ahead and award the actual battle to Godzilla.
Yeah.
You know, they balanced it out. You know, Godzilla won the first fight. Kong won the second round, and then, you know, just went back and forth until, yeah, he finally got knocked down and got his chest stomped in. So, yeah, I have to go ahead and just say Godzilla won, but it wasn't by much. It wasn't by much. And in the end, like, if Kong doesn't come back, Zilla's getting the shit kicked out of him by Mecha Godzilla.
Yeah, he would have wound up dying. Yeah. I think Mecha Godzilla would have killed him. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of those. Yeah. Yeah. You can award it to whoever you want to at that point. And I think it's safe to say Godzilla definitely won that final, or that battle between those two.
Yeah.
But without the assist from Kong, we're going to be talking
about this title wouldn't have lasted very long.
Exactly. It's like, right. Like Money in the Bank. Here comes Mecha Godzilla with the briefcase, you know, just throw it at him, you know.
That's exactly, me and Chris texted each other after I saw it, and it was like a couple of baby faces that went off on each other on a pay-per-view, but, you know, both of them ended up walking away without losing any heat with the audience. Like, exactly. They were able to, you know, keep it going.
Exactly. What did you guys think of all the stuff with the Hollow Earth? Specifically the concept of that's where Kong and all the Titans came from. Like, I thought that was kind of a cool adventure story myself, but I'm curious to hear your guys' thoughts on it.
I had no problem with it. It actually gave them an origin.
Yeah.
I mean, it had like feelings of like other movies, you know, Journey to the Center of the Earth and things like that. They were ones that just popped to mind. It's like, you know what, if this is where they were and this is where, you know, these two, you know, were facing off before they came to, you know, the surface, it was pretty cool seeing the handprint, the axe where you found it, you put it down, you seen it charging around where the actual throne was. All that, I enjoyed all that as much as I enjoyed what happened on the surface.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was kind of, I didn't expect it, honestly. I didn't expect that we would be introduced to this new setting, this new environment that's very kind of specific to this series now. Like, they took a moment to pause in the middle of this big movie for Kong to like climb a mountain and then just kind of do like a space leap from one mountain to the opposite mountain up above him. And just like the layout was just, I thought just like as a concept, it was really well imagined and well executed too. Like, I thought the effects were great and it was cool. So now there's, you know, sequel potential. It could be take place at all in the center of the earth with huge monsters. Maybe they team up back to back against, you know, some other force that's down there. Who knows?
Yeah. Trisha?
What?
Did you have anything to add to that?
Nope.
She's like, I'm just letting you boys geek out. I'll get my talking.
This is one of those movies I was just along for the ride.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So I got one final question before we get out of here. We've seen Batman v Superman. We've seen Godzilla versus Kong twice now. Freddy versus Jason. What are two iconic characters of their genre that you want to see go toe-to-toe in a versus movie?
Oh my gosh, what Ooh. A great question.
Yeah.
Let's see. I was thinking Alien versus Predator too, but no.
I gotta
try to narrow it down to Chris, do you have one in mind?
Oh, I'm struggling. Honestly, I'm really struggling.
Let's see. How about, let's just say, James Bond versus Austin Powers?
I honestly, I would watch that. I don't think it would be any good at all, but I would totally.
No. let's see Mike Myers try to pull off, you know, Austin Powers, and it's, I don't know how old he is. He's got to be maybe in the 60s now.
Yeah, I think he could do it. Like, if he's still doing Uber commercials as, you know, as Wayne.
Right.
I've got nothing.
You got nothing?
Oh, come on.
I would, okay, so my answer to this, I would actually go, I'm going to take James Bond, but I'm actually going to pit him up against Tom Cruise's super spy, Ethan Hunt from
Boston. You go.
I feel like the two longer running spy franchises, we need to have a team up and or a fight between agencies before it's all over and done with. So,
yep. I just thought maybe MI.
Yeah,
Vin Diesel's Fast Six versus Jason Bourne.
Oh, I would watch that. Yeah. I would watch that. I can't picture Vin Diesel saying, "Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne." Like, you know.
I can see him jumping a car off a building, though.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Trisha, did you have one for this?
I don't know.
Okay, Sean, you had a question.
I did. So, like Godzilla versus Kong, it's a two big properties, two, you know, have a lot of Hollywood history, different countries. Like, I can't think of another property that's as big. We've already had Alien versus Predator. We've already had Freddy versus Jason. I'm thinking, like, I struggle to find something that's even comparable to these two.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's it as far as, like, big versus movies? Like, what could even come our way that would be the same, like Marvel versus DC? I can't really think of anything that would be as good.
Marvel versus DC would be either great or terrible, depending on who you let be in charge.
Right.
I feel like if Kevin Feige went over to Geoff Johns and said, "Hey, we got an idea, and if you let us run it, you know, we'll make it balanced," I'm sure Geoff Johns would go, no, I like your idea, but I want to make it shittier. So anyway, I honestly don't know. Because, yeah, like I said earlier, this is the second time that Kong and Godzilla have gone toe-to-toe. And, of course, you said Alien versus Predator, Freddy versus Jason, Batman v Superman. I don't think we're done with versus movies. Right. I am sure that we will find some something. Other... What'd you say, Trisha?
Something. They'll find something.
Yeah, they'll find something. I feel like it's probably gonna be more horror icons is what we're gonna see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did Freddy versus Jason, and for the longest time there was talk of, well, hey, well, let's bring in Ash from the Evil Dead, or hey, let's do Freddy versus Jason versus Michael, like, you know, something like that. And I don't see it being the end of it, but I don't also see us getting one like crammed down our throats every other year, like you see with a Marvel movie or
right.
or any of these other franchises. Personally, now I've said that Warner Brothers is going to go, who else can we pit against each other? Can we get the rest of Capcom versus Street Fighter? Like, you know, something like that. Honestly, I think that would probably be the next thing, is that they take some of these video game adaptations, like a Capcom versus Street Fighter, and bring those characters to the
Soul Calibur or something down those lines.
Yeah.
How about Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter?
I would watch that. Like, you know.
Okay. Yeah, well,
thinking,
now you got my head spinning. That would
be cool, actually. That thing is worse for his gummy bears.
I feel like the answer to the question lies somewhere in the video game realm, like that, or you know, a Super Smash Brothers movie, if done right, could be a lot of fun. Like something like that, where you get all these video game crossovers fighting each other.
Mario v Sonic, just really dark and dreary, like Batman v Superman.
Yes.
But they're super serious.
Yes. And then we bring back a digitized Dennis Hopper to play King Koopa again. We're gonna do it all kinds of wrong, and
that's right,
in charge of it. So yeah, no, that's a solid question. Trisha, do you have any input on that? Or
they'll find something. Yeah. I don't know what yet, but they'll find something. Yeah. As long as they keep selling decently, they'll keep doing it.
Disney's sitting here plotting Cruella versus Maleficent right now. So yeah. So all right. Well, guys, I appreciate you guys joining us and geeking out over Godzilla versus Kong with us. I'm gonna give you a couple minutes. Plug your guys' show. Tell us what Dad and Rock's all about.
All right. Well, we are Dad and Rock. We're a couple of middle-aged dads. We live in the Midwest. We do an audio podcast each and every week. That's you can find on all the podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, etc. We also do a lot of YouTube stuff. We have our own YouTube channel, and we do a lot of vodcasts and video content. We've been doing a heck of a lot of trailer reactions recently. Most recently, last night, actually, we did reactions to the new Black Widow trailer and the new Loki trailer, and we put those up. So you can always find those, our Dad and Rock React series. And we also have an after show that we're doing each and every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Currently, we're halfway through Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but we've also done them for WandaVision and Mandalorian, and we'll most likely just keep doing them with whatever cool show is out there. But yeah, that's about it. Dad and Rock.
Very good. Chris, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Nah, he pretty much covered it all.
Like, I'm gonna let him carry the
I was saying, and the funny thing is, he typically doesn't on our show. Yeah. I set him up and he runs with it at the end. I just tell everyone just to keep it cheesy.
Very good. All right, well, guys, thank you so much for joining us again. My dogs are barking, so that means it's definitely the end of the show. Again, thank you guys. If you guys are listening, we still have our merch store still up. It's My Drunk Movie Theater teespring.com/store/MDMT. I'm going to eventually get that fixed. If you buy the buy Popcorn Peasants shirt, 10% of every shirt sold or every mask sold is going to go to the Will Rogers Motion Picture Pioneers Fund to help people in the movie theater industry that have been struggling for the past year over COVID, or even just without COVID. They do a lot of good work for people like us to make sure that we're okay and have everything we need.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So make sure you guys go support them. You follow us on Twitter @drunk_theater. You will probably find me on there somewhere stirring the shit with somebody about something on there. and you can always email us at mydrunkmovietheater@gmail.com. For all of us out here at My Drunk Movie Theater, I'm Kyle Sutton.
I'm Trisha Campbell.
And be nice to your damn movie staff.